You may be seated. Easter Sunday is over, but we now enter the season of Eastertide. Sometimes we're tempted as a church to kind of move on past Easter. We celebrate it, and then it's time to move on to something else. But for the next few weeks, we're going to continue to look at the resurrection. We're going to look at stories where Jesus appeared to the disciples and different people after he rose from the grave. And finally, we will conclude with Jesus reinstating Simon Peter along the lake in John 21 to conclude our series about this is our story through the story of Peter. Our text this morning is about Jesus' appearance to Mary Magdalene in the garden on Easter morning. Please come and listen to what the Spirit has to say to the church. Then the disciples went back to where they were staying. Now Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. He asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will go get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary!" She turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that he had said these things to her. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. When I was a young child, I loved watching Sesame Street. I especially loved watching Sesame Street before church on Sunday mornings. I loved the characters. I loved Bert and Ernie, Big Bird, Oscar the Grouch, and my favorite, Cookie Monster. How many of you remember, if you know Sesame Street, a character named Mr. Hooper? Mr. Hooper. Yeah. Well, the executives and producers at Sesame Street had a dilemma many years ago. Mr. Hooper was an old man, and he all of a sudden passed away and died. The producers were tasked with the duty of how do we communicate to our 10 million viewers, most of these children under the age of six, this concept of death? How do we explain to them that Mr. Hooper has died? So the producers went to some child psychologists to seek some advice, and the child psychologist told them, first of all, don't say that Mr. Hooper got sick and died, which he did, because children get sick, and we don't want children to think that when they get sick, they're going to die like Mr. Hooper. The child psychologist also said, don't say that Mr. Hooper was old and he died, because little children think their parents are old, and they don't want to think that because their parents are old, they're going to die. The producers also said that they weren't going to fit in any religious undertones. They weren't going to say that Mr. Hooper died and went to heaven. The producers finally settled on this, that they were going to say that Mr. Hooper left, he wasn't coming back, and he would be missed. Well, the day of the first show where Mr. Hooper wouldn't be on, the episode arrived. And Big Bird came onto the stage. He had a picture that he drew for Mr. Hooper, and he was excited to show Mr. Hooper, and he said to one of the people on the stage, "Where's Mr. Hooper? I want to show him my picture." Well, the person on the stage said, "Big Bird, don't you remember? Mr. Hooper died." "Oh. Well, I'm going to wait here until he comes back," Big Bird said. Well, another person came up to Big Bird and said, "Well, Big Bird, Mr. Hooper isn't coming back." Big Bird started to get sad, and he looked down, and he looked up, and he said innocently, "Well, why?" Well, then this person said, "Well, Big Bird, when people die, they don't come back." Wow, what a sad and depressing thing to say to children, that when people die, they don't come back. As many of you know, my mother-in-law, Jan, died about a year ago from a 15-year battle with breast cancer. One of the hardest things about her death has been trying to communicate to Lily why she can't visit her Nana right now. We just went over to my father-in-law's house this week, and again, you have to kind of explain Nana isn't going to be there. Now, Lily's done a really good job, and she's kind of figured it out, but I could not imagine having to tell Lily that she will never see her Nana again, because dead people don't come back. As believers in Jesus Christ, we believe that he died and rose from the dead. Therefore, we will see the dead again. We believe this. This is at the core of our faith. But again, this is a hard concept for people to grasp. When people die, they stay dead. People throughout history and even our own time cannot grasp the concept of the resurrection. I came across this story from Jeff Strite. He's a pastor down south. He quotes this story from Abraham Lincoln. Abraham Lincoln, after his first true love died, her name was Anne, was asked by one of his close friends, "Abe, do you believe you will see Anne again? Do you believe in a future realm?" And Abraham Lincoln answered, "I'm afraid there isn't. It isn't a pleasant thing to think that when we die, that is the last of us." This idea that when we die and there is no coming back is a very real feeling for a lot of people, that death is final. There is no sequel. The movie is over. And this is what Mary Magdalene was experiencing in the garden this morning in our text. For Mary, death was final. And she was blinded by the tears of grief that comes with death. Now, earlier before our text, back in John 22 and verse 1, Mary is the first one to the tomb, as Tim said, and she was the only one. And after seeing the stone rolled away, she runs back to the disciples to tell them what she saw. But if you have your Bibles open, notice what she says. She doesn't say that she believes that Jesus was raised from the dead. She says, "Guys, somebody stole his body. He's not there. He's still dead." So the disciples, Simon Peter and John, they run to the tomb. They see that Jesus isn't there, and we're told in the text that the disciple that Jesus loved believed. He understood that Jesus was raised from the dead. So we read in our text this morning that the disciples, upon seeing this, left. They went back home. But Mary Magdalene stayed behind, standing there. Our text said crying, but in the Greek, she was weeping. She was out of sorts. Her master, her savior, her teacher, her friend was dead. And his body, the only thing she had left, was gone. She was blinded by tears. Her mourning was out of control. But we read on. She's looking into the tomb, and she sees two angels sitting there where Jesus had laid. Her response is interesting. I don't know about you, but if I ever saw an angel, I would be down in the fetal position in about a second to 2 seconds. Every time you read about someone seeing an angel in Scripture, they freak out. The shepherds did when the angels announced Christ's birth. Mary and the other women, when they saw the first angel on Easter morning, freaked out, and they got down on the ground and hid their faces. Here, Mary is not looking at just one angel, but two, but it doesn't seem to faze her. She's not afraid. She's not frightened. She asks them a question while crying, "Where's the body? Where did it go?" You would think, too, that Mary would start to put some things together here. Okay, I saw an angel earlier in the morning. Now I see two angels. Something's going on. Angels just don't pop up for no reason. Something is going on here. But she doesn't get it. She still thinks that Jesus is dead. So before the angels can respond to Mary Magdalene's question, this man arrives and walks up behind Mary. And he says the same thing that the angels asked. "Why are you weeping? Who is it that you're looking for?" Who are you looking for, Mary? So Mary turns around and she sees this man and she thinks that he's the gardener. Now, we read in Scripture that after Jesus rose from the dead, sometimes he would appear in different forms, didn't he? When he was on the road to Emmaus, the two guys with him, they didn't even realize it was Jesus till the end of the day. And when he visited the disciples at one point, he was in a different form. Maybe Jesus was in a different form here, and Mary just didn't recognize him. I don't know if I think that's what Mary saw. I think she was so overcome by grief, so blinded by tears, literally, that she couldn't see who was in front of her, that it was Jesus, that he was alive. I think Mary, in fact, was actually looking for the wrong person. She was looking for a dead body, not someone who was alive. Mary was blinded by her tears, gripping and clinging to this dead body, and she couldn't let go. She couldn't look right in front of her and see it was Jesus standing there. Again, she was clinging to death. Have you ever been to a funeral where the loved ones of the person who has died literally cling to the body in the coffin? Have you seen that before? I've only seen this once. And it was at a funeral of a friend of mine who was a non-Christian. I'll tell you, friends, that was one of the worst occasions in my life. It was going to a funeral of someone who has no hope in the resurrection. There was a cloud in the air, a heaviness that seemed to push all of the hope out the door. People would come up to the body and just lose it. They would literally cling and latch onto it, and they wouldn't let go because they had this suspicion, they had this feeling that this would be the last time they would see this person. They were clinging to this dead body. Myself, I walked up there and I just wept because there was no hope. I think that's what Mary is doing here. She thinks that there is no hope. It's just a dead body. But then all of a sudden, Mary's world gets turned upside down. She turns her back on Jesus. I don't know if you caught that in the text. She turned her back on Jesus. And then Jesus yells, "Mary!" Now, in the RSV, there is an exclamation point there after her name. Jesus didn't mumble her name, "Mary." It was, "Mary! Snap out of it! It's me!" And then we're told she turns around instantly and says, "Rabbi, my master, my teacher, it's you. You're alive." Wow. What a scene here. Friends, this is the first time that Jesus decided to show himself to a human being. This is it. This is really where our faith kind of begins. This Mary had the privilege of seeing the resurrected Lord for the first time. Jesus could have chosen to show himself to anyone else. He could have showed himself to Simon Peter and John when they ran to the tomb earlier, but he didn't. He could have showed himself to his mother Mary, but he didn't. He could have showed himself to the chief priest, Caiaphas, or the teachers of the law, or maybe even Pilate. And said, "Hey guys, I'm back." But he didn't. He showed himself to Mary Magdalene, the woman who he casted out seven demons. She just didn't have one demon or two or three. She had seven. She was that crazy woman you were afraid to come near back when she was possessed. She was a mess, and Jesus rescued her, saved her. This is the woman who didn't believe that he actually was raised from the dead here, weeping, looking for his body. It's Mary Jesus shows himself to for the first time. But why? Why would Jesus show himself to Mary first? Well, I think it was Mary Magdalene who needed to see Jesus the most, who needed to see the resurrected Christ. She was blinded by her tears. Her guilt or her grief and her mourning were crippling her. She needed to see the resurrected Christ. She needed to know that the hope that she put in Jesus and the trust that she put in him wasn't in vain. That in fact there is life after death. That when she followed Jesus, it wasn't a waste of time. Jesus showed himself to Mary first to show her that, yes, there is life, Mary. And Jesus does the same for us as well. When we feel those times of grief, when we lose a loved one, it's Jesus who says, friends, I have been raised from the dead. Death does not win, but life does. Jesus said himself that my sheep know my voice. I know them and they know me. Friends, these sheep, he says, will not perish. You will have eternal life. You cannot be snatched from my hand. When we are in those times of grief and mourning, when tears are filling our eyes, we need to hear and listen for that voice. Jesus saying, I am here. I am risen. Death does not have the final word. Sometimes we need to look through our tears to the glory that's just beyond it, the glory of eternal life and resurrection. I'd like to end with a story that I also heard from Pastor Streit this week. He tells a story about a pastor named Dr. Criswell, who was a pastor down in Texas. And one day this Dr. Criswell was on a flight. He was flying across country. And he was sitting next to a young theologian who was a professor at the local seminary, an up-and-coming kind of star in their ranks. And this young theologian shared with Dr. Criswell that his young son had just died. One day he came home from school. He had a fever. They didn't think anything of it. I know as a parent, it seems like fever season is every other week at my house. Son came home with a fever, but it got worse. They took him to the doctor. They realized quickly that he had a very serious and critical form of meningitis, that it was incurable, that this little boy would die in the hospital. So this father, this theologian who loved his son, sat at his bedside, literally waiting for his son to die. Well, the next day came. And it was in the middle of the day, and it was bright outside, but the little boy's vision started to get cloudy. It started to darken. The little boy said, Daddy, is it getting dark outside? Yes, son. It's getting very, very dark. Well, Daddy, I guess I'll go to sleep then. Yes, son. Yeah, you should probably go to sleep. So his son had a way of fixing his pillow just right. He would fluff it up, and then when he would go to bed, he would put his hands together and he would lay his head down and sleep like that. After he had got adjusted and got comfortable, he looked at his dad and said, Good night, Daddy. I'll see you in the morning. His son closed his eyes and closed his eyes into death, but then entered heaven. After the young theologian told this story, he just turned and looked out the window of the airplane and didn't say anything for a while, just sat there. Then after a long time, he turned to Dr. Criswell and he said with tears in his eyes, Dr. Criswell, I cannot wait until morning. Friends, it is not true that dead bodies stay dead. Because Jesus died and rose from the dead, we too will rise, we too can wait for morning. Those we have lost, we will see again. We will wait for the morning, the sunrise of morning of the resurrection. And it's Paul himself who says, friends, we are not to be ignorant about those who fall asleep or to grieve like those who are in the world who have no hope. Our hope is in Christ because he died and rose from the dead. And we believe that God, since he raised Jesus from the dead, we too will be raised. That's what we believe. That's why we are here. That's why we have hope as Christians. Friends, when those times of grief come upon us, when we are blinded by tears, we need to remember this and listen to that voice of Jesus when he says, friends, I am risen, and you will rise too. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, it was Mary Magdalene who you decided to appear to first. It was through her tears that she saw you and saw you for who you were, risen. Lord, we give you praise that the grave cannot hold you, that death is not stronger than you. Lord, we give you praise that those who are in you, we too will be raised. Lord, when those times of doubt, when those times of grief come upon us, when we are blinded by tears in our own lives, Lord, give us strength. Give us the courage to be able to see through our tears to the glory that's just beyond them, that you, in fact, are risen and that we are in you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.